So yes, the internet is whack because of video games, which, you know, makes sense. Makes sense. I did, by the way, get this other laptop, but I haven't quite set it all up and everything yet. And I imagine I probably could maybe I'll do that Friday. But I want to get that set up because that's a much higher powered machine. But like, you gotta go through all the bull crap of like resetting those things up. Like, such a fucking pain in the ass. I'm not seeing Krista and or King Dinosaur in the chat. So can you guys say something so I know you're here and that you can see me, please? But man, all this stuff, like, Dash V is here saying, hello, friends. Dash V, it's always good to see you. Dash V, we are in ridiculous mode today. So any ridiculous, goofy, silly shit you want to talk about, have at it. You can ask me weird goofball questions, whatever you want. Time for just a tension breaker episode. We'll probably watch a Mr. Wizard. And let's just try to relax and chill and be silly. I certainly need it. Black Cat's here, but she's very quiet. She had a hard day. Sorry. Well, Black Cat, I get it. 1,000% get it. Maybe try and be silly. You want to talk about silly shit? Talk about silly shit. We're going to try and raise the mood, raise the vibe, be goofy. Say maybe we'll watch a Mr. Wizard and talk about that shit. I had. So here's the current thing that's happening, okay? Here's the current thing that's happening with me. Over the weekend, and I want opinions on this. I want opinions on this. Somebody was like, well, and I was asking, I was like, you know, I'm whatever, feeling at a low point. And in talking and discussing it, they said, well, you know, your goatee, it's not really quite as like in fashion-ish anymore. Like, might seem like a little aggressive. Like, can you grow a full beard? Like, maybe go to a full beard. I want to say, like, man, but like, you can see my beard is pretty gray. Like, my facial hair is either dark or it's like stark fucking white. But I imagine I can probably just color and dye more of it. But I've started to let that fill in a little bit. So, you know, I think maybe it will be a softer appearance if I go towards beard. Because the only other option would be, you know, trim it down to just stubble. Nah, come on, Reverend Master, it's supposed to be a happy, silly episode. We don't want people curb stomping motherfuckers and all that shit. I mean, I get it. The goatee, the circle beard, it's very polarizing. Some girls are like, eh, it seems aggressive and it's just like creepy because then there's just your mouth and whatever. I was like, well, you know, okay, maybe I should go back to beard. Even if I don't grow it like super thick, like maybe I'll grow it back and then just do like a, you know, keep it at a number 3 length or something. I don't know. Yeah, like, facial hair is aggressive. It's aggressive. I mean, think of the people that popularized it. Bikers, Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, it's kind of an I think it gets an aggressive reputation. I feel so weird if I just do mustache, because then I feel like I'm like, especially, Krista says she digs it. Well, Krista, I, you know, thank you for that. So I'm like, I don't know, maybe I should try beard. Maybe I should go back and try beard. My beard doesn't always quite 1,000% fill in exactly the way I would like. my mustache comes in like a fucking push broom. You know, that mustache, I mean, I can soak up at least a half a can of clam chowder. You know, if I drink a Michelob, it gets a real nice, musty, smelly smell because it's so fucking thick. But, you know, oh, I remember this guy, Fight Gug. I remember, hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a long time. How you been? Good to see you. Welcome to a ridiculous stream. If you want to talk about or ask me a ridiculous question or whatever else, as long as it's not some racist trolling, whatever shit, ask away. We're just going to be goofy. Just going to be goofy today. I bought these. I wanted to get some better headphones to try and like concentrate and whatever during the day while I was working. These were on Amazon. If you're interested, they're noise canceling headphones. They're by a brand called Beribes, Beribes. But they had a 40% off coupon, so it was like $20. It's like, dude, have you ever had someone lay on my stomach and listen to the noises? Oh yeah, I miss those times. I miss having somebody just, you know, to just lay and kind of cuddle with. And of course, then they'd be like, oh man, your stomach. And then I'd be like, and then I'd let out like a huge fucking fart. And then you kind of grab their head and you hold their head there. And they're like, yeah, you can fucking taste it. Taste that thick pea soup fiber fart. And they start gagging and they barf all over my lap. And then I have a barf penis. Who the fuck cares what's fashionable? It's your body. Tell them to go fuck themselves. I generally agree. I generally agree. But, you know, nice to be attractive to the ladies. And I got to do what I can. Given that I, again, I'm feeling a little bit of a low confidence point. So, look like a portal in the background. But, you know, I figured I've done the circle beard and whatever for a while. For a while, I did the this move, you know. No, actually, it was a guy. It wasn't a female that said it. It was a dude. He's got a nice beard, too. He's got good beard action. I did color it up a little bit with the Just for Men gel, but I feel like it doesn't penetrate my iron beard that well. That other cream stuff or whatever I have works much better. Cheers to you all, by the way. So yeah, what else I have going on? I realized too, I have this Total Gym 2600 thing that I bought. It's got some like cool pieces or whatever parts to it. But I'm like, I think I'm going to sell it. Because I think I'd rather go back to just having the little bench. Because I was much better at doing my little leg exercises and everything else on that. And thinking about my gym routine the other day too. I think I'm going to drop back on a lot of the other weights and go back to just doing dumbbells on the bench, because I feel like physically I felt better when I was just doing that in my basement during COVID. But now I don't know if it's also anxiety giving me pain, so who the fuck knows? Ask some of the females where you hang out about how they feel first. Oh, that's a good question. I get it. It also feels weird. Hey, young waitress, what do you think of my facial hair? Shall I goatee? Shall I beard? Should I go just stubble? Just stubble it up. Actually, I do have a couple girls that I know that I can ask that I think would give me an honest answer. even if I wasn't like, the only reason why I'm asking you this is because I want to know what feels best when you're giving me a thigh lock. I need to sound British when I do it. There's some British people there though. I could just be like, oh, maybe instead of British, I'll do the, hello, I want to know what you think of my facial hair. Should I keep it a circle beard? A regular beard? Or just a soul patch? And yeah. So fucking silly, love it. Tomorrow have in as we all hopefully all do for all of us, keep us in the positive vibes. But I have a call tomorrow morning with this side project I'm working on, and then I'm hoping that goes smooth, is in the bag, and blah blah blah. And then I'm going out and seeing a friend here that I haven't seen in a little while. And we're going to have a cigar. And I think I may, like, just then go lift weights a little bit. And then I think Thursday is just going to be a... Because I actually kind of... I won't say busting my ass today, but today was like a pretty good day. If all days work wise were like today, I'd be like, meh. Especially if they know my actual accent. This is my actual accent. I'm just very good at hiding it. Most of the time when I come here, I talk like this. But this is my real voice. It's the perfect amount now, considering my beautiful bald head. Yeah, but this, like, this isn't bad, but that's still not really beard, you know? And I gotta clean up, I gotta get rid of this neck beard line. That's not so great, you know what I'm saying? Gotta get that tweaked up a little bit. What else is new and fun and happy? Trying to think. Well, I don't know. What is it? Krista says, just being honest. No, yeah, please be honest. I'm not offended, you know, at all. Like, I think... But see, like, I have it in the perspective of, like, guys. I'm like, yeah, dude, fucking goatee, dude. I can't really grow, like, the big, bushy, whatever, like, beard. So, you know, mine tends to all kind of eventually sort of fill in-ish like that. I haven't done that in a little while. But, yeah, maybe I should. Maybe I'll just... Let it come in a little bit. Reverend Master says, I'll just shave my head and send you my middle of my back length hair then. Oh yeah, dude. I could just drape it like this and just have these, I'll have like long mutton chops and then just this, this different beard goatee texture. That would be something. You'd a few old VA women compliment me, which always creeps me out. Wow, dude, get a sugar mama. Be like, look, you could just... They'll make you pierogies. They'll cook you delicious foods. You can hang out and watch game shows. You'll probably get some sweet shit crocheted for you. So you get some sweet crochet action. A lot of benefits to that, to be honest. That could be pretty dope. I think you're maybe, you know, missing out on an opportunity there. It could be legit as fuck. There's a movie on Amazon Prime and on Tubi called The Boneyard that was recommended to me from Gaba Goulash. I think that's the name she has now on Twitter. And that movie starts kind of slow and wasn't really doing it for me. But then it actually picks up and gets pretty goofy and fun. The latter half of it's actually pretty solid and hilarious. So if you're looking for something goofy to maybe check out, watch. Twould recommend. Twould recommend. It's pretty good. And again, it's free. I mean, if you're not watching Tubi is a gold mine for movies, man. I hate the ads like anybody else, but being able to get the amount of movies on there and the selection is just incredible. Just incredible. Pretty good. Rivermaster says, I'll just upload some image of what it looked like hair-wise so you can laugh. Hey, dude, I want to see those. I want to see them luxurious locks. Send it on over. I want to see it, dude. Yeah, give me that. Give me that. I'm all about it. I'm all about it. I'm all in. I'm 100% in on that. Adoogle, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm going to set this, I think, a little lower. How do I do that? It's not that button. There we go. There we go. That's a little better. And I got this standing desk, but like the. I don't get it because the lowest setting on this desk is not low enough. It's like it can actually use to be a little shorter. And then I'm like, yeah, it just puts all this stress on my butt parts. So one thing is another. So what do you guys say? Should we delve into a Mr. Wizard? We could do a Mr. Wizard here. I have some of these. I have this window called up here. So let's. I think the last one we were on was. I think the last one we did was the static electricity. Because I remember the pulleys. I don't think we did. Polarized light. Well, maybe we did do that one. Maybe we did do this one. I can't remember now which one we were on. Roller coaster popcorn. Does anybody remember which one we were on? I'm trying to figure it out. Hydrogen, air, and helium. Maybe we did that one because wasn't he making it on last? Yeah, because we did this. We did static electricity, didn't we? I think we did that one. I think that was the last one that we did. I'm gonna call it this one. I'm gonna call this make a rainbow and hard boiled egg and all that shit. I need to start remembering and writing down, like where we were at, so that I. Fucking don't keep watching the same ones there. Okay, Reverend Master posted an image to Instagram. So what I'm going to do is once I queue up the beginning of this Mr. Wizard, I'm going to go run and grab that. So I want to size this over appropriately first so you guys get maximum viewage of our favorite science sweater guy. So size that all in like that. And then we will blow this on up. Okay. Good. Good. I think that's pretty good. King Dinosaur, are you still there? Dash V, you still there? You guys just listening? I mean, it's okay if you're just listening. It's totally fine. Podcast folks, there's going to be a beep. And when you come back, you're going to hear some Mr. Wizard. So, okay, if you're ready for science, here comes some science. I'm going to skip to this portion here. I'll play a little bit of the intro. So here we go.
Oh, hi, Heather. What have you been doing?
Just playing ball at the park. What are you doing?
Well, just out watering the lawn. Yeah. Hey, that reminds me. Have you ever made a rainbow?
No.
Have you seen one, though?
A lot.
Yeah, what do they look like?
Well, they've got lots of beautiful colors, and they're usually bright ones. Mm-hmm.
Different colors. And where do you see them?
In the sky.
Yes. Now, you know what makes a rainbow?
Water and sun?
Yes. What you have to do is have tiny, tiny droplets of water up in the air, and then have the sun behind you, and then everybody sees their own special rainbow. And when you're out sprinkling the lawn, maybe when your dad's out, you have them do this. Turn the sprinkler until it's as fine as you can get it.
Okay.
And then look into the little spray. You see the spray over there? You see the rainbow?
Yeah,
over
it's
there?
Beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful? So next time your dad's out sprinkling, you have him turn the hose real fine, and you can make a rainbow. Two eggs, Jason. One is fresh, the other is hard-boiled.
Okay.
Quick little quiz for you. Which is which?
I don't know. They both look the same.
Yeah, they look exactly the same.
Yeah.
Try spinning one in the middle of the dish right there.
Okay.
Okay, now spin the other one.
Okay. That one's kind of hesitant to spin it. Mm-hmm.
Now let's do the same thing, but this time with a transparent egg. That bowl is an egg.
Okay, like the bottom of an egg?
Yeah, spin it. Okay. If that were either the fresh or the hard-boiled, which would you think that a plain bowl like that would be?
Probably the hard-boiled because there's... It's
all
pretty well
solid. Now put some water. Mm. Fill the dish about half full of water.
All right.
And over there sitting next to it is a cork. When you get it half full, put the cork in the water. Okay, good.
Okay. And cork.
Now, this would be what, the fresh egg or the hard-boiled?
Probably the fresh egg because it has liquid in it.
Right, now spin that.
Okay. It's that, well, it's hesitant, not to mention the cork doesn't, it stays in the same place.
Okay, now give it a good spin and watch what happens to the cork when you stop it. Put it over to the side like that. Now try. Okay.
Put it over there, kid.
Oh, then the cork moves.
Okay. Now spin the two eggs again.
Okay. It's going quickly.
Egg spinning. Okay.
This one's kind of slowing down.
So from your experiment over there, which do you think is which?
I think this is probably the fresh egg.
Because it was hard to get started?
Yeah.
Now try another thing. Spin it, and this time take your hand off. Stop it and take your hand off of it.
Just stopped.
Okay, now try it with that one.
Okay. It kept going.
Yeah, do it again with that one. Don't quite so fast. Make sure that you really have stopped it.
Okay. There. It still keeps going.
Okay. So you're going to break them open to prove which is which. Which do you decide is which?
That's hard-boiled and that's fresh.
How are you going to prove it?
Breaking them open.
Okay, go right ahead.
How are you going to prove it? Picks up the egg and throws it at him. I'm going to come back and egg your house, you stupid old bastard.
Yep. This one is the hard-boiled one.
Okay.
Reverend Master has...
Then the other one had better be the fresh one, right?
By the way.
Well, yeah.
Okay, see if you were right.
James LeBrie, the singer of Dream Theater.
Ooh.
You were
yuck.
Right.
Yuck.
I'll show you how I'm gonna prove which one's which. Belt them with it.
Transparent knobs along the edge of woven fibers indicate this is something man-made. A clue. Another row of knobs is brought from above and pressed into this row. The knobs interlock to close a gap, usually in fabric. Yeah. An unusual view of that ingenious device, the plastic zipper.
Krista wants hard-boiled eggs, usually gets some hard-boiled.
Have you ever looked closely at a mothball, Lala?
Not really. It smells too much.
Well, yeah, they're pretty smelly. Well, that's because the material in the mothball evaporates into the air. But if you do take a close look at it, notice there's a little shine,
mm-hmm.
sort of glisten. That means that they're made of crystals, and those are the little crystal surfaces that you're seeing. I use them, though, to illustrate a very important scientific technique, which is to make crystals. Have you ever tried to make crystals?
Yeah, once, but it didn't work.
What were they of?
Well, I was trying to grow rock candy.
Yes, and what happened?
Well,
nothing happened?
Nothing happened.
Well, you were trying to grow a crystal from solution. You dissolved it in water. I'm going to grow crystals using mothballs, but I'm going to melt them and condense the vapor into a crystal.
What?
And here's how I did it. Took the mothballs, put them in the bottom of the dish like this,
yeah.
Put it on the stove in a double boiler until the mothballs melted and actually boiled a little bit.
Those
then
all toxic
I allowed
there.
The, this vapor to condense on the top
mouth.
Here and
crunching.
Cool. And you can see why I call this mothball frost. Take a look at it with a magnifying glass and you can see little tiny
cool,
crystals.
Whoa. Oh, they're tiny.
Yes.
They're all in a pattern, too.
Yes, all in a pattern. They're all very similar shaped.
Yeah.
And then, look what happened to the mothball solution when it cooled.
It just went on the bottom and made a sort of glassy surface.
Yes, but you see the crystals in there?
Yeah.
So this looks like what? Jack Frost on the window.
With mothballs.
Right.
Dash is going to make some mothballs soon.
Mothballs.
If you eat the mothball soup,
you know what
you get mothballs.
Random means?
Belly. Krista got a
well,
gift to protect
of, it's,
herself.
Well, it could
it?
Be numbers in any order, but not. It doesn't have
it?
To be in the
pepper spray.
Correct
Brass
order.
Knuckles,
it's just in gun? Any place.
Any
bazooka.
Well, here, give me an example of it. Write down the numbers from 0 to 9 in random order.
The sound of that marker gives me ASMR.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, that's fine. That's enough.
Okay.
Because I already
that's
see
enough.
That it's not random.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't
it's
it
not.
Random? I told you to write down random numbers.
Yeah.
Why did you choose a 7 here after the 2? Because it wasn't a 2?
No, I just, it was just a number that I
really?
Put down.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, he's growing.
And you've got one repeat, 1 and 1 here.
Hey, fuck it up.
Oh.
Well, isn't that all right?
Couldn't
well, you see, the idea of randomness is very important in science. Because if you try to write down a list of numbers, I don't care who you are, you're always going to have some little technique for choosing the next one. Well, I haven't used that one in a little while, or I haven't used this one in a little while, or something. So scientists, when they want random numbers, they have... At one time, there was a whole book full of nothing but random numbers. They use them in... For example, if you had an assembly line, and things were going
that's
along, and you want to test
reading.
The items that are coming down... You don't want to test every 10th one or every 100th one. You want to choose them randomly.
Oh.
So they would write a program for their computer that would pick the random number.
That's just a
then also, if they were going to try to chart the path of a molecule or a radioactive particle,
quick, somebody grab it.
No one knows what direction it's going to go or how far it's going to go, so they would use a random number to determine its direction and its distance.
Dash got that at the random
number. So scientists use random numbers all the time.
Chapter.
And almost every computer has built into it a generator that generates random numbers. Come on over here, I'll show you mine over here.
Okay.
Christo,
sit down at the computer. And I have the program all set up.
So far
you
we
just
know
type
it's not
run,
purple.
R-U-N, okay. And then enter. There they come. 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
God, it's slow as hell.
And you could write a program that had 1,000,000 of them if you wanted, if you needed that many.
Yeah, but that would take quite a long
time,
too.
Yes, it would take quite a long time. Right.
laughing though.
But now there's also a game based on random numbers.
Do it.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to play it?
Yeah.
Do it.
Okay. Type LOAD, load, space, now quotation mark.
And then poop.
G.
Mm-hmm.
For, okay, and then quotation mark, and now enter. Now we're going to load the new program.
Okay.
Dude.
Now type run. Whoops, it says I.O. error.
It would take a long...
Okay, so...
Type it again. L-O-A-D.
Okay.
Oh, so Chris, do you got some pepper spray?
Space.
Nice.
Quotation Good. Mark.
I thoroughly G. applaud that.
And now quotation mark again. And now enter. Now I hear it buzzing away.
Yeah,
okay, now
is.
Type run.
Why
enter.
Did it break the first time?
Yeah.
Now, I've set this one up so that it's choosing arbitrarily a random number between 1 and 100. You have to guess what it is. It says, what is your guess?
Okay.
What are you going to guess?
I'll guess 50 because that's half of 100.
Oh, wait, what's that got to do with it?
Well, it's partway between, so it could be high or low.
You're using a technique that scientists use, too.
Huh?
And engineers and people that are organizing a search party, for example, or when they're doing an archaeological dig. If you wanted to examine an area, you divide it in half, and you look in that area. If you don't find anything, you know it must be in the other half type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what you're doing. Okay.
Okay.
Try 50, see what happens.
Okay.
Enter.
Yes, old man.
Says it's too high,
it's too
so now
high.
What are you going to try?
I'll try half of 50, so I'll put 25.
Okay, enter. Still too high.
Well, there's not really a half of 25, so I'll just go with 12.
Okay, 12. Still too high.
Still too high.
Did you see how you're narrowing down your choices?
Yeah, I'll go with 6 now.
6 then, all right. Too high yet.
Yeah, I'll try half of that then.
Try 3. Ah,
that's
took you 5 guesses. That was pretty good.
Yeah,
ordinarily, you would do it in at least 6. Try it again. This
okay.
time, see what the number is. R-U-N.
Runs.
What's your guess? You're going to take 50 again.
Yep. It's too low. Okay.
Two,
I'll go with 75 eight. Now.
Okay, you're going to divide the difference in half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Too low again?
Too low. Well, I'll 60. Say about 87 then.
Okay.
It's too high, so... Between 75 and 87 now.
Right.
Starts pounding random. Types delete program.
I'll try
program.
78.
Okay.
Drop table. Drop
too
button.
Low.
Too low. So it's between 78 and 87.
83, I think, this time.
Too high.
Too high.
So that's between 83 too high and 78 too low.
I'll try 81. Whoops. There.
Too,
still
high.
Too high.
81 and 78.
79, I think, maybe. That's the number.
79, yes.
7 guesses.
Yes. Anyway, you can have a lot of fun sort of playing with this sort of game on your computer, but the important thing is that the computer has been designed to produce a whole series of random numbers because they're very useful in science.
That's
if
good.
You want to become a biologist who specializes in working with animals, here's the kind of project you might work on. You'd place nesting boxes in meadows to attract wild starlings. When the starlings move in, you'd capture some of them. You'd feed them carefully measured doses of chemicals used by farmers to control insects.
Oh, hi, little bird.
Then you'd release the birds and observe them to see if the chemical interferes with their ability to gather insects and raise their young.
Well, if they'll die,
you'd fit some of the nests with cameras to record the birds each time they return to their nests. The information collected could be helpful to you and other scientists in developing safer insecticides. You might expect to be doing all this out in the wilds, yet if you worked at this important center for wildlife research, you'd be
birds.
Surrounded by more than 3 million people. You see, here at the Patuxent Wildlife Research Center, operated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, methods were developed for saving the California condor, the whooping crane, and the bald eagle. And it's about halfway between
eagle.
Baltimore, Maryland, and Washington,
hair.
D.C.
Is that me, or is it a bald eagle? Was that maybe it was supposed to be a That didn't look like a bald eagle.
Old-fashioned peanut brittle. Do you like peanut brittle?
Yes, I do.
Well, here, have some.
Here we go.
Oh, I think I know what's inside.
Not peanut brittle?
It's full of spiders.
No, snakes. The oldest trick in the book.
Well, open it and see if you're right.
Okay.
You were right. That's now, this was a very serious scientific experiment. Did you realize that?
No.
Would you get the snakes for me? I'll show you. It really was.
It's full of scorpions. Scorpions just start stinging her.
Did you notice what the reaction was?
Well, yeah. Even though I knew what was inside, I still was jumped a bit.
Well, that was one reaction, but the reaction I'm talking about is the reaction as a can.
There was no reaction. I was holding the can.
Well, there, even though you were, there was still a reaction. Now we'll set it up again. This time, I will put the top on upside down and then hold it in place with a rubber band.
What the fuck are you doing?
Like that. Now, Stacy, what will happen if you take the scissors and cut the rubber band?
Well, when the snakes go flying, the lid will too.
Yes. But this time, let's keep track of what's happening to the can. Here's a little truck. Let's set it down over here on the floor.
Peanut butter brittle rocket car.
I'll aim it about right there. Come around over here and get ready to cut the rubber band.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Do you know that old business? Remember I said, what's the reaction? And you thought I was talking about yours?
Yeah.
Then I said the can? You know, do you remember the law that...
Oh, yeah, the one by Sir Isaac Newton.
Yes, what did he say?
He said to every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Okay. So that's the reaction I was talking about. What's the action going to be here?
Also, well, the lid's going to fly off the stakes, and the can and the truck are going to be going that way.
Right. So that's what's going to be with the action. I told you I was doing a serious scientific experiment. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
I like that little truck. It's like King Dinosaur's truck.
Eugene, how much do you weigh?
69 pounds.
How do you know?
Because I've checked it on a scale.
Yes. When you step on the scale,
liar.
What are you really measuring? Do you know?
Fucking liar.
Gravity?
Yeah, the force of gravity pulling you down.
Stupid kid.
Have you ever seen the astronauts when they're weightless?
Dumb.
Yes, they float around in space.
Yeah, they float around. Looks like. Have you ever been weightless?
Yes.
When?
When I jump sometimes.
Like when? Tell me, what do you mean? When are you weightless?
Well, when I'm up in the air.
Yeah, when you're off the ground. And all the while you're falling until you hit the ground. Because that's the only time you can eliminate the force of gravity is in a thing called free fall. And they actually did some experiments with the astronauts in airplanes in which they had them do a loop so they could get rid of gravity. And how about skydivers?
Liar.
Yes, when they fall out of planes.
Right, when they're in free fall, they're weightless and
they just
like
glide
astronauts,
around.
Well, we can actually make these close spins to prove our point. See, here's two clothespins with a thick rubber band that ordinarily, if the rubber band were free without the weight of the clothespins, it would go like that, right? Now, if you hold the clothespin up like this, at the moment when you drop it, think of what's going to happen.
At the moment when you drop it.
Maybe as they free fall, they would be weightless,
right?
And the rubber band would snap them together.
Okay, see if you're right. Try it again.
And again. And again.
Okay, now do it again. This time, imagine what it would like if you could see it in slow motion. Put it up. What would happen now?
Well, the gravity that would be eliminated as they free fall, and the rubber band would snap them together.
Well, you're absolutely right, Eugene.
Hey. I told as a kid the reason people have brown eyes is because they're full of
Tennis,
shit.
Tennis, I assume you've been in an office at some time or other where they have a water cooler.
Totally.
Yeah, I saw one in my Aunt Diane's office one time.
Did you notice what happened? Well, describe it first of all. What does it look
like? Okay, there's a big glass jar that filled with water, of course, and it's on top of a little stand. And at the bottom there's a knob that you turn to get the water to come out.
And then what happens when the water comes out?
There's these big bubbles that go up to the top.
Mm-hmm. You didn't recognize my version of it here?
No, I didn't.
This is the typical version of the office water cooler because I wanted to make sure you understand how it works. This glass has a hole in it down there, and that's the spigot that you get the water out of. Now notice there's another hole up here.
Yeah.
Okay, here is the big jar of water. I'm going to turn it upside down over the glass. You watch what happens.
Okay.
Okay, you want to put your finger over the spout there now? Okay.
Now the water stopped coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now take your finger off.
The bubbles just like the other coolers.
Yeah, okay, now stop it once. See if you can figure where are the bubbles coming from. And why doesn't, when you hold your finger over this hole, why doesn't the water level come out and run out of that hole?
Because the mouth of the jar is touching the level of the water, the top of the water.
Yeah.
And the water that's going down there is just touching it there.
Well, in other words, as soon as the water, let the water go out once. Watch the water level there, see it?
Yeah. Oh, the water, so each time a bubble goes up, more water comes down.
Yes, now put your finger on the hole again. As this water level drops, air can get in up here. Okay, when you put your finger over the hole, this water level rises and covers the mouth of the bottle so that no air can get in. That's what causes the bubbling.
Oh, I was wondering about that.
Okay, and then why doesn't the water run up here and come out that hole?
Because the mouth of the jar is touching the top of the water.
It's underwater, so it can't come out. Anyway, so have a drink.
Hey, wanna have some drinks? I got some scotch. Fucking dude's stronger than shit. Have a drink, kids.
This illustrates one theory of how some of the Earth's mountains were formed. Once this was a smooth surface, but the material below shrank, just as the molten inner part of the Earth did as it cooled. The outer skin buckled and folded, forming the mountains on the surface of a decaying apple.
So, what he's saying is that the plant is really a piece of fruit.
Hi, Mr. Wizard.
Oh, hi, Lara.
Why did you want me to bring my bike and meet you by the swings?
Well, I wondered if you know how many wheels it has.
Oh, that's easy. There's two wheels. That's why it's called a bicycle.
As a matter of fact, there are six wheels on your bicycle.
Okay.
There are?
Three different kinds.
Oh.
Here, let's take a look at it.
Oh.
This is one of the obvious ones, right?
Yeah.
A wheel. And notice, by the way, the axle doesn't go around, so it's just
a
plain wheel.
Here, the mountains are round apples, dude.
And how about that one back there?
This is a wheel.
And axle.
And it has an axle.
And an axle. So those are the two main ones.
Yeah.
But look what happens when you go up here on the chain. Look at this. See this one?
That's another wheel. The pedal.
Yes, that goes round and round, and that's a plain wheel, not wheel and axle, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then what's it attached to?
What do you say?
A wheel
and
an
axle. Right, so how many have we got
asshole.
So far?
Four.
1, 2, 3, 4.
You're an asshole.
Then
this is
you.
You
can steer your bike yourself.
I can't take my bike and get the fuck out of here.
With a steering wheel.
And that's a wheel and axle, right?
Right.
Okay, so there's five.
Where's the sixth one?
Well, come on over here. I want you to come over here by the swings so I can hang up this bicycle wheel on a rope from the swings. Now, watch what happens when I swing it like this.
It rocks back and
forth. See how it rocks back and forth? But now I'll just give the bike wheel a little spin and watch what happens.
He's going to steal her bike.
It's like a spin top or a gyroscope.
Yes. It stays on a nice flat plane.
Yeah.
But that's you don't ride your bicycle sideways like that.
No.
You ride it like this. Okay, I'm going to give it a spin.
But
before I do, I want you to tell me now.
Boom, the shot.
First, I should explain that when you're riding along on your bicycle, your bike wheels act something like a gyroscope in this plane. If I let go right now, what's going to happen?
It's going to go flat.
Yeah, it's going to go flop like that. But if I give it a spin,
it's going to stay up.
It stays up because of that gyroscopic effect. So that could be the front wheel of your bicycle, help holding you up. So what are the six wheels on your bicycle?
The front wheel, the back wheel and axle, the pedal, the wheel and axle with the chain, and the steering wheel, and the
gyroscopic
wheel.
Right.
Gyroscopes are neat, though. Eugene Salvalanda. Fern Field. This is a big name.
Someone's
since we have this already here and loaded and I'm feeling spicy and saucy, let's just go ahead and do this.
And you may have been drunk in that video, correct?
There's a possibility of that, yes, sir.
You poured yourself a mega pint of red wine, correct?
A mega pint?
Yeah.
I poured myself a large glass of wine.
Right.
I thought it necessary.
I poured myself a large glass of wine. I thought it necessary. We need this one, though.
You poured yourself a
megapint.
Of red wine.
Anybody else have any other videos they want to watch before we bounce out of here? Ugh. Check out these nipples, man. Yeah, check out. Do you ever see this much muscle in a man? God, it's so big. It is so much better than a nipple, dude. The Massive Man compilation. Oh.
Yeah, look at these muscles, man. Yep. Fucking 285 pounds. Solid, man. Fucking just. Just make love to myself, man. Shit.
Shit. Dash said, did I see his highlight reel for his latest film? Well, I don't know. Possibly, but here's what we can do. We're going to do a few things. First off, Krista got this. This is a nice teal. I do like turquoise / teal as well. It's pretty solid. So that's good shit. Reverend Master, shall I show your picture or not? I could go with not if you don't want me to point the camera at the screen. I'll let you answer. You have a few moments to. He doesn't bother him. So here's Reverend Master with his luxurious locks. I can't really see that very well because of the glare. There you go. That's not bad. There's a little bit of Robin Williams, a little bit of James LaBrie. Looking sharp. And then Dash has Why is that not coming up? Okay, it's not that one. I think it's this. Dude, wind, fucking, I get it with wind. I don't know if it, I don't know if it's this, if it's this one. But fun stuff. I really do miss making little short films and all that sort of shit. Like, that stuff's a lot of fun. But switch that back over. What other ridiculous stuff should we talk about for a few moments here before we sign off and say goodnight? Cheers, by the way. You may or may not have just experienced a glitch in the stream because I saw my Wi-Fi momentarily drop slash hitch. And I'm beginning to think it's this machine and or something that is installed on this machine because it keeps a-doing that. I almost feel like it's this VPN driver, but I feel like it's been doing weird shit with that ever since I tried to do this second monitor thing with it. So I think I'm going to leave this machine here with that on it so that if I have to, I can remote into it without causing a whole lot of fucking disaster. Thought you were taking a pause to post. Look at this post on Facebook. Stars. Dash, I don't know why that doesn't let you post a link. But also, why are you not in the VIP list? Send that to me very quick in a whisper, and then I will post it here in chat. I don't have Facebook, but you know, whatever, it'll work one way or another. What's going on here? Close. But yeah, like fucking this thing does this weird shit where it'll be fine for like a long time and then the Wi-Fi will just like whoop, and you're like, dude, what are you doing, quit with that. But yeah, I think so. This weekend, it's highly likely that I will be watching, they'll be staying at my cousin's house to watch their dogs for a little bit. So I may try a little bit of some dog stream so you guys can see the puppies. They're not really puppies anymore, but may try that. I think I'm going to use that time to, again, try and get that other laptop squared away and all that stupid shit. Get that all totally set and settled. So that will be that. Anything else anyone wants to chat about real quick or discuss or goofball question they wish to ask? But yeah, I can notice it even with like this camera, right? Like it gets like a weird, like the GPU is relatively high for just encoding this little camera and whatever. So I think the encoding library and everything else on the laptop should be better. But yeah, I'll probably try and fart around a little bit and get the streaming thing set up on that, so that yeah, I have this machine. If I need to VPN back in, get that goofy shit done. But I don't know if it's that, because like it's even, I mean, like right now it's closed. I just wonder if this computer just has fucking issues in general. So I guess we'll have to try that and cross that bridge when we get to it. But I hate having to set up a new computer machine or even phone. The amount of horseshit that they turn on and auto-configure and put all over the place. Like, I don't know who keeps up with all that shit, but like, if you don't go through and like curate all of that stuff, the amount of just bullshit that is just put on those the fucking things. Samsung this drive, the Lenovo this drive. Like, see, I like using OneDrive, but I hate how like now they want to just like auto set all this shit up and just do it for you. I mean, they're trying to make it iCloud-like, where like people who have no idea what they're doing. Oh yeah, it's just auto syncing all your stuff. You're happy. Like, no, I don't want my fucking documents folder just by default synced through that. The stuff I want to sync, I'll put in there on my own. I mean, I get it from their standpoint. It's, I don't know how this stuff works, but now I just put it in documents and it's saved everywhere. Whee. Jesus. Okay, now I need to raise this back up, I think. Whoop. I have a hard time getting comfortable in chairs because I feel like the way they hit my legs, the butt portion of it is never long enough, and then I'm always like sitting in like a weird position or something, and it bothers me. You don't want my taxes automatically saved to the cloud? Yeah, no thanks. Remesis says, I always hated it because it literally broke a file in half. I had to go look at it again and spend hours looking for it. I mean, I get it. I get it. I've known people who've like lost all sorts of shit in like Google Drive and whatever stuff too. And I'm like, look, you know, make stuff a little more explicit, whatever. But I will say OneDrive actually recently kind of saved my ass. Even though originally it fucked shit up, I then fucked shit up. And then I was like, oh, there's like an option to just be like, restore this how it looked a few days ago. And then I was like, ooh, I lost something. But it did still keep the version history of the one document there. So I was able to recapture some of the story that I wrote. So it actually kind of saved my ass a little bit. By the way, you guys want to hear some pieces of that? I'll read you some pieces of it. Should I start at the beginning? I'm a little self-conscious about it, but I feel like I kind of want to do it anyway. You guys want to hear some shit that I'm writing? Do you want me to read the uncomfortable sex part? We can do either or. Who wants what? Oh, so Krista says, turns out she'll be moving after all. Redmaster says, dude live! And then I got a thumbs up from Black Hat. So yeah, I don't know. Should I just like start at the beginning or whatever? Or you're moving upstairs. I mean, that's not too bad, right? So let's tweak this a little bit. All right, I'm gonna read some pieces of this. Should I just start at the beginning? I'm gonna start at the beginning, then I might read the creepy sex part so you guys can tell me if it's creepy or not. It was so wonderfully quiet inside the cold steel and concrete room. Dismal, dreary, dead. And that was just how she felt. She'd placed her sex red high heels on a rusted shelf near the incinerator. Or was it a crematorium? Not that it mattered. It was a blast furnace, and it would finally provide an answer, one way or another, to her day. She'd found herself more than just once down on her knees, praying and wondering and sobbing what was wrong with her. Could never get any answers, and so it seemed like the next best place to look. She opened her black Dolce & Gabbana purse and took out a cigarette. Pale, long, slender, sexy, like the elegant fingers that held it. Lit it with a gold lighter and inhaled the foul-tasting smoke, enjoying the pleasant rush to her lungs. If her lungs even worked anymore. Slowly, she placed the bag next to her heels and then reached inside it once more to remove a hair tie, gathering her long black hair into a messy bun at the back of her head. She'd been watching and poking around this place for a while, and aside from a few security guards and otherwise, the place was largely abandoned, even though several of the machines looked well enough to be of use. She didn't know what the original purpose of the industrial spread was for. She'd found what she'd needed. One of the security guards who'd worked there, Ed, had told her about this particular machine and how it worked. There was a valve for the gas, gauges showing flow and pressure, temperature, and a heavy metal door with a thick handle on it. Inside a series of grates where you placed whatever you wanted reduced to ash and slid it inside. She had done some reading and research, asked around, learned how you operated it, and finally had decided it was time to take the ride herself. Enjoying the cigarette, she lifted the handle with a protesting squeak, and then opened the heavy door, hinges tiredly complaining about the movement. And then she opened the valve, the hiss of gas like a hidden snake in the otherwise quiet room. Waited a few moments, and then threw the lit cigarette into the steel coffin near the pilot, seeing a flicker of flame. And then she opened the main gas valve and heard the little whoosh as it ignited, low but casting flickering dances on the rust-colored walls and dingy gray. She watched the fire for a while, turning up the gas and watching the flames grow higher, more focused, flooding the room with heat and red-orange light. Wanted to cry so badly, but couldn't. She tried her best. Felt like she had held off the bad parts of herself for as long as she could, but just couldn't break free from whatever had hold of her. So this was goodbye. Goodbye to everything. She closed her beautiful blue eyes, took a deep breath, and then opened them once more to regard the welcoming, intense heat. She moved closer, reaching out for one of the metal grates to climb onto, when she nearly barked from surprise. Because right then a deep voice said from the other end of the room, "That seems like a pretty stupid thing to do." Broken homes. There wasn't any beer left. No Dinnymer stew either. Denny coughed a phlegmy cough and then lit another cheap cigarette and farted. He smelled. Not that he cared. Or anyone else cared. He didn't really do too much these days other than slowly kill himself with bad food, booze, and general lack of hygiene and movement. He was old, though, and figured it was probably about time for death to come anyway. With an old man's cackle, he laughed at the things he'd done in his life and the lack thereof. His hearing was pretty sharp, though. And he heard what sounded like someone out back in his yard with the rusted cars, boxes, and other shit lay strewn about, discarded without grace. Fucking kids. Always poking around, looking to fuck with stuff. Well, he'd show them. Lifting his flabby bulk from a sticky easy chair, he went over to the kitchen and grabbed a break-open shotgun from near the kitchen table. He always had it at the ready. He liked shooting things. Dogs, gophers, cats, birds. Hell, even people if he got the chance. A spark of joy crossed his face as he realized he might actually get to do something fun for once. Opened the shotgun, checked to make sure it contained two fat, bright red shells. Closed it with a clack and then headed for the back door. He used his shoulder to open the sagging screen door and stood at the threshold looking for anything creeping around in his yard. It was impossibly still outside. Too still. The setting sun, as it was crawling down towards the trees, felt like it was glaring at him in anger. "Go on, get!" he shouted into the yard, though his voice lacked his earlier joy and excitement. "It's private property, so I'm fixing to blast you if you fuck around my yard." He swatted a fly from his face with liver-spotted hands and continued to survey. Then a chill ran down his spine, despite the heat, because he could tell there was something out there. Something very, very wrong. Shadows that didn't look right. A strange pressure in the air, like something was waiting to jump forward and get him. He backed into the ramshackle house and closed the screen door. Then the white wooden door with peeling paint behind it and locked it. Grumbling under his breath and attempting to regain his muster, he went to the kitchen window and looked out. Didn't see anything moving yet. That pressure and strange sense of danger pervaded. He'd make a stand at the front door, where he had more visibility in the yard, so he began shuffling his way through the unkempt house when he knocked something on the floor that clattered, skittered, and rested just beside the halo of light from a dirty, crusty lamp with a bulb struggling in its own age. When he saw what it was, his breath caught in his chest. His heart skipped a few beats, and he pissed himself as his prostate wasn't giving him trouble. Frozen place, gripping the shotgun with knuckles that ached. Felt and heard the pressure of something on the floor near the door to his bedroom, and breaking the momentary pause, turned and raised the shotgun at the intruder. A thing loomed there at the edge of the doorway. He once knew who it was, even if he didn't quite understand what it was. "You..." he said to it with eyes wide and disbelief in his voice. "It can't be you!" he shouted at it, panic in his voice. The thing started to crawl, shuffle towards him, very, very slow, like a cat stalking prey. "Now, you, listen to me. I ain't done nothing that wasn't right at the time, and you know how it is when you're young. You do dumb, foolish things, things you're sorry for, things you regret. Now, maybe I ain't been a good man in my life, but I ain't done nothing any worse than any other son of a bitch. So you just get the fuck out of here." Then he raised the shotgun with more authority and pointed towards the dark figure that continued to advance him despite the warnings. Then he pulled the trigger on both barrels and blasted the thing directly in the center of its chest. Dust and mold and dirt and particles of who knew what clouding the air. The recoil of the shotgun in his near panic caused Denny to take a step backwards, and he fell back near the somber glowing lamp. The wind out of him, Denny dropped the shotgun and put his hands flat to push himself up, coughing, when the thing began to climb up his legs, with hands that were icy cold but strong. He looked down and saw that the shotgun had done its job, if not completely, because even though the thing was a total mess and nearly cut in half, it quickly continued to crawl up Denny's prone body. The terror of that sight, of the smell and the pressure of the thing was enough to push Denny over the edge into hysterics. He started screaming and crying, trying to push the thing off as it crawled all the way up his body. Denny had lied. He'd done terrible things, but he wasn't sorry for them and he didn't regret them. He had enjoyed them. Agony took hold of his body as the thing tore him open, ripping tissue and snapping tendon and bone as his collarbone and upper chest were exposed. And in the last moments of Denny's life, he realized that the thing had bitten him savagely. And the last thing he saw was an absolute horror as the thing looked up at him with parts of his body hanging from its mouth. Later on, the fire department would get a call to a house fire. No one cared what might have been missing, possessions or flesh. The thing hadn't stayed to watch it burn. More, or should we stop? What say you all? King Dinosaur says, damn! I know, because if people are tired and they want to stop, we can stop and maybe next time do some more. But if people want me to... Dash V says, more! King Dinosaur says, that's awesome. See, why can't I make my living just doing this? All right, we'll do a little more. More than coffee. When she'd been investigating the abandoned property. Oh, wait a minute. Dash V says, but I may fall asleep to the smooth sound of your voice. See, why can't I just be like a sleep guy? When she'd been investigating the abandoned property, she'd seen a few people there occasionally. Who knew if they were looking to chase off vagrants or preventing theft of various rusting metal parts? Copper. On one particular occasion, when she'd been looking at the incinerator room, an old man had interrupted her evening. Excuse me, hey, this is private property. You can't be in here, ma'am, he'd said, white-haired with a pleasant smile, a flashlight and a uniform that said Secure Max, with Ed under it and a sewn-on label with a plastic-looking badge next to it. Oh, well, I didn't see much going on, and I'm just here doing research for a book. I wasn't going to touch anything, she replied with an innocent smile. The old man gestured around. Oh, I'm getting stuck or scraped. Not really much to worry about, but the company that owns this place is in negotiations for sale or something, so... Anyway, I really don't want people in here. He looked kind of lonely. She could sense that he was lonely. And good Lord, he smelled delicious. Her eyes dilated as she looked at him, feeling a certain urge spark to life within her. I understand, she acknowledges, but maybe I could ask you some questions about the place. For the book, she took a step towards him, posture inviting. Could take you out for coffee or a bite to eat? The publishing house pays for that sort of thing. She finishes with a, we're both just working, sort of tone. Instantly, the man's attention shifted to looking at her. Really looking. She was gorgeous. Pristine perfection put together. Even the elderly can appreciate good art, and as she'd guessed, he was lonely. His shift was only another 20 minutes anyway, and that loudmouth kid who thought he was RoboCop would handle things. There's been some vagrant fella snooping around here, but it's early yet, and another one of the guys here is about to take over my shift, so... And my father told me to never turn down a free meal. Coffee sounds great, especially with the chill we've had lately, the guard replied, putting his flashlight into a holster on his belt. How about the IHOP 2 streets over, she asked, gathering her purse and hoping to quickly get out of here, before it was apparent that she was not researching a book dressed in an outfit that looked more appropriate for a dance club. Sure, that'd be nice, the man said, and then waited for her as she left the room and headed down the bare concrete corridor towards the gate at the back. "I'll meet you there in 10-15 minutes, he says, as her heels crunch on gravel of the back lot.
"Great. See you soon,"
she says, getting into the black Land Rover Evoque, smiling at him before putting on a pair of gradient sunglasses. The short drive there, she didn't think once about coffee or pancakes. All she could think about was how the man smelled. Once inside, she got a booth near the middle of the place, asked for 2 coffees, and waited. Before her date would arrive, she poured half of her cup of coffee back into the plastic carafe that they had left on the table, and took out a little notebook and pen. Not she really planned on taking notes, but it helps all the act. Not too much later, the old man came into the place, spotted her, smiled, and came over, sliding with some effort over into the booth and wrapping his hands around the coffee cup. "Fresh coffee always smells good," he says, lifting the cup and taking a sip after blowing across the top. "Smells. Smells good, all right. You smell good," she thought, near staring at the old man as she sipped from the porcelain mug.
How long you been a writer?"
he asks, adding, "Looks like you've done really well for yourself," with genuine admiration.
"Oh, well, I've been doing writing for a while, but recently with my own works, just about a year or two," she replies, wrapping her hands around the mug in a pantomime of his own gesture, but not drinking any of the contents.
"Yeah, I retired some years back. Well, my wife got sick and passed. My kids have grown up and moved out of state, so to keep me from going crazy, I figured I'd just do some security jobs. Nothing really hard about it. Most of the places just walk around, check off as you're there, but at least you get to meet some nice people now and then," he says to her, obviously happy to have the company.
She wanted to kill him so bad, she had to take a deep breath and look away for a moment before she did so in the middle of the restaurant.
Reverend Master says, "Oh no, it's the veg succubus making its entrance again." All right, we're going to do one more. I'm going to do one more piece, okay? Disappear into the obscure. Jackie parked her Mercedes-Benz and hit a button on the console to close her garage door. Couldn't be too careful these days. Her house was brightly lit by expensive-looking lamps and an electric fireplace that flickered in her living room. Throwing her purse onto the countertop, she went to the little bar cart and poured herself a double gin and tonic. Finished it in a toss and a half and poured another. Fucking slobs. Low-rent apartments full of people who couldn't pay, wiped their shit all over the place, and then cried and complained it smelled like poop. Unbelievable, she says to herself, wondering where her husband was at this late hour. Like herself, as a lawyer, you often kept odd hours and found yourself wanting a moment alone in your car to scream at the relative stupidity of the people you were representing. So, if he was out getting trashed or his dick sucked in an alley, she didn't really care. She never really loved the man anyway. The relationship was born on power and money, both of which she had. So suited her just fine. "Alexa, play my favorite music," she said aloud, rolling her eyes at the syrupy response from the electronic device before it finally played some goddamn music. Her first task after drinking half of her second drink was to put in an order for Chinese food. She hated Chinese food. Greasy crap made by greasy people in greasy places. But all she wanted was something to keep her stomach from growling and the acid crawling back up her throat, because she was going to finish that whole bottle of gin tonight, no matter who called her on the fucking phone for what advice on whatever stupid case. Next, a bath. She stripped down naked and regarded herself in a mirror. Not bad for being an older woman. But then again, money and surgery had ways of keeping you looking young if you're so inclined. She finished the drink, then padded out to pour herself another drink, and instead just took the whole bottle with herself into the bathroom. Lit a few candles, scented and calming, and then filled their large, exquisite bathtub with hot water and two fizzy, snowball-sized bombs that filled the room with even more pleasing scents. Slipped her legs into the water, settled back, took a long pull from the bottle, and then closed her eyes, just feeling the calming water, the wonderful scents of candles, and the skin tickling of the fizzy balls. Two things happened almost at once. The first was that something plopped into the water, and it startled her so much that when she grabbed it and realized what it was, she almost didn't notice how bad the room suddenly smelled. Nor did she notice the thing standing in the doorway. When she saw it, she peed in the tub, her horror overriding her embarrassment as her mouth moved in gasps for breath like a fish. It sounded like it said hello to her, but on the verge of passing out and with the disgusting gurgle of the thing's voice, she wasn't quite sure. It advanced towards her. No! No! She yelled because she suddenly knew who it was, knew in a way that guilt knows shame, and scrabbled back in the slippery tub away from the thing as it came across the back room towards her. We were declared innocent. I am innocent. She pleaded in the same way many of her clients did, a pleading that she often despised them for, mocked them for in private. Later, the police got a call from Jackie's husband in a panic. They'd come over to find in the bathroom a complete bloody mess. He had an alibi. And even if he didn't, they didn't figure that a man dressed in a pinstripe suit had chewed off his wife's legs to her hip bones while she laid in a bathtub. Without leads, the case disappeared into obscurity. Even if they had known what to look for, they wouldn't have found what was taken. So that's that for now. Hope you enjoyed that. It feels a little weird narrating something that I wrote, but there you go. Regardless. Yeah, that's going to do it. Rough times, rough week, but hey, hope you enjoyed some laughs and some entertainment and some Mr. Wizard, and we should see you all on Monday. We'll be here Monday. Hope to see you guys then. And chill out for a little bit. So I think that'll be fun. Time to get hired to narrate stuff from now on. Man. If I could. Especially if I had a place I could go to and do that. Like. Man. If I found myself in a position where. Didn't need to make that much money and just wanted to do some side income, I would totally do it. But that market is also tough. There's like a lot of people who are out there, some of them with really damn good voices too. Not to sell myself short, I think I could do a good job at it. Especially some of the very expressive parts. I feel like I do a pretty good job of that. Good night, y'all. Take it easy. Krista says, King Dinosaur does some claps. Black Cat says,
Thank you.
Redmaster says, Mass National Sleep Day after cigar appears everywhere. For some reason, everyone had a great nap while the TV was on. I feel like if I could just be like a sleep talker. What'd you do today? Well, I sat and I talked and made sure that everybody went off and had a nice rest. Because as we say at the end of all of our episodes, stay safe, keep the faith, and all that good shit. And we'll see you again next time.